1 Samuel chapter 26, starting verse 1. And the Ziphites came to Saul to Gibeah, saying, "Does not David hide himself in the hill of Hachilah, which is before Jeshimon?" Then Saul arose and went to the wilderness of Ziph, having 3,000 chosen men of Israel with him, to seek David in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul pitched in the hill of Hachilah, which is before Jeshimon, by the way. But David abode in the wilderness, and he saw that Saul came after him into the wilderness. David therefore sent out spies and understood that Saul was come in very deed. And David arose and came to the place where Saul had pitched. And David beheld the place where Saul lay, and Abner the son of Ner, the captain of his host, and Saul lay in the trench, and the people pitched round about him. Then answered David and said to Ahimelech the Hittite, and to Abshi the son of Zeruiah, brother to Joab, saying, "Who will go down with me to Saul to the camp?" And Abshi said, "I will go down with you." So David and Abshi came to the people by night, and behold, Saul lay sleeping within the trench, and his spear stuck in the ground at his bolster. But Abner and the people lay round about him. Then said Abshi to David, "God hath delivered your enemy into your hand this day. Now therefore let me smite him, I pray you, with the spear, even to the earth at once, and I will not smite him a second time." And David said to Abshi, "Destroy him not, for who can stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless?" David said furthermore, "As the Lord liveth, the Lord shall smite him, or his day shall come to die, or he shall descend into battle and perish. The Lord forbid that I should stretch forth my hand against the Lord's anointed, but I pray thee, take thou now the spear that is by his bolster, and the cruse of water, and let us go." So David took the spear and the cruse of water from Saul's bolster, and they got them away, and no man saw it, nor knew it, or neither awakened. For they were all asleep, because a deep sleep from the Lord was fallen upon them. Then David went over to the other side and stood on the top of the hill afar off, a great space being between them. And David cried to the people and to Abner the son of Ner, saying, "Answerest thou not, Abner?" When Abner answered and said, "Who art thou that criest to the king?" And David said to Abner, "Art not thou a valiant man, who is like to you in all of Israel? Wherefore then hast thou not kept the Lord the king? For there came one of the people in to destroy the king thy lord. This thing is not good that thou hast done. As the Lord liveth, you are worthy to die, because you have not kept your master, the Lord's anointed. And now see where the king's spear is, and the cruse of water that was at his bolster." Excuse me. And Saul knew David's voice, and said, "Is this thy voice, my son David?" And David said, "It is my voice, my lord, O king." And he said, "Wherefore does my lord thus pursue after his servant? For what have I done, or what evil is in my hand? Now therefore, I pray thee, let my lord the king hear the words of the servant. If the Lord hath stirred thee up against me, let him accept an offering. But if they be the children of men, cursed be they before the Lord, for they have driven me out this day, not abiding in the inheritance of the Lord, saying, 'Go serve other gods.' Now therefore, let not my blood fall to the earth before the face of the Lord, for the king of Israel has come out to seek a flea, as when one does hunt a partridge in the mountains." Then said Saul, "I have sinned. Return, my son David, for I will do no more do thee harm, because my soul was precious in your eyes this day. Behold, I have played the fool and have erred exceedingly." And David answered and said, "Behold the king's spear, and let one of the young men come over and fetch it." The Lord rendered every man his righteousness and his faithfulness, for the Lord delivered you into my hand today, but I would not stretch forth my hand against the Lord's anointed. And behold, as thy life was much set by this day in mine eyes, so let my life be much set by in the eyes of the Lord, and let him deliver me out of all tribulation. Then Saul said to David, "Blessed be thou, my son David. You shall both do great things, and also shall prevail." So David went on his way, and Saul returned to his place. Boy, there's some beautiful parallels in this. Okay, back to the first verse. and said, the Ziphites came to Saul. Anybody know what the Ziphites mean? They were smelters. They were iron workers. They went into, they were ones that melted down the ore to make spears and weapons of war. And if you look into the root of this word, it comes out to the word battle or battlement. They made a lot of the weapons of war for people. So when we take this from a natural standpoint and put it into a spiritual standpoint, what are we talking about? It's people running around carrying tails. David was doing nothing wrong. He was out in the wilderness minding his own business trying to survive. And what did they do? They put the accusations against them. See, their battle was in the tongue. See, they were carrying tails. And they stirred Saul up. God didn't stir him up. Who did? They did. So, the Ziphites represent what? Gossipers, slanderers, saying all manner of evil about you. Okay? And they came to Saul, which represents what? What does Saul represent? Or carnal mind. Or the carnal mind. See, so when these Ziphites come to you, these accusations in your mind, and stir up that carnal mind, what should someone do with it? Ignore them? Ignore them. But see, Saul being of the representative of the carnal mind, what does the carnal mind do? It plays right into the hand of the Ziphites, don't it? They go carry the tail and the carnal mind picks it up and runs with it. Now, here's the thing. If you realize when you talk to people that are yet carnal, I don't care what they say they are, when they are yet carnal, guess what's going to happen? The carnal mind is going to listen to it. Hear me? They're going to listen to these accusations, and they're going to believe them because they'd rather believe a lie than to believe the truth. So when you talk to somebody, you have to be able to discern whether this is a person that can hear God or not. Make sense? We got to find out if this person can hear God. If they can't hear God, what are we talking to them about? See, we're talking some foreign language to them. They can't understand us. Right? So we need to exercise that gift of discernment that God gives to us and know that this person can't hear. So now the way we deal with this person, no matter how irate they are, is in mercy and grace. Because they can't hear. They're deaf and blind. Okay, that's the way you have to look at them. But of course, the carnal mind here was in Gibeah. That's in a high place, a little hill, a little place of worship, of idolatry. And does not David hide himself in the hill of Hachilah? Hachilah means darkness or what? Ignorance. He said, David's hiding in ignorance. Well, you know where David was hiding? David is a type of who? He's Christ. Christ is hidden within where? All the ignorance of humanity, isn't he? And at God's time, he'll come out. Not at our time. Okay? Which is before Jeshimon. Guess what that is? The ignorance comes before the desert, the wilderness. The word Jeshimon speaks of wilderness. You are in ignorance before you ever go to the desert. When you start getting a little bit of light, guess where you're going? To the desert. Huh? You'll be kicking and flailing all the way. Murmuring, complaining, just like the Jews did in the Old Testament. And Saul, that's a carnal mind, he went down to the wilderness, okay? To the desert of Ziph, having 3,000 chosen men of Israel with him. What would that represent to you? Huh? 3,000. What would it represent to you? There's a lot of things you could probably factor it in a lot of different ways, but let's look at it in a way that there's three. Let's just look at three. What would that speak to you? It's in all realms. See, he went to the wilderness with 3,000 men. He's going to knock out every aspect you got, all three realms. They're going to try to attack everything. Could be, yes. All of you. But in here, it's talking about an internal thing. We're working something internal. They think they can. Okay. Okay. Right, that's what I'm saying. It's all each individual. To seek with him, to seek David in the wilderness of Ziph, or in the desert, right? Now, question. What does Matthew 24, 23 through 26 state? No. That's 24, 24. It's the verse right before it. In 23 says, did I say Matthew 23? Matthew 24, 23 through 26. It speaks about if they say, lo, he's in the desert, don't go there. If he's over here, don't go there. Why? He's within you. So you don't have to go chasing Christ down at some building somewhere, do you? It's within you. And that's what we have to understand. As long as we think that Christ or God, or any way you want to address our Maker as being, guess what? If you think he's external, you've missed the whole point, haven't you? Because he's internal. Okay? And Saul pitched in the hill of Hachilah. So where's the carnal mind's place? In darkness or ignorance, which is before the wilderness or the desert. See, as long as we're in that carnal state, we don't go to a place of testing. The rain shines on rain falls on the just and the unjust. The sun shines on the good and the evil, correct? Doesn't make any difference. Everybody gets something. But the testing part doesn't come until you come out of ignorance. You've got to get some light before you're ever going to go into a testing process. True? Okay? He said, Saul pitched in Hachilah, the darkness, which is before the desert, by the way, but David abode in the wilderness. Christ abode in the wilderness. Who's the one doing the testing? Christ. He's the one overseeing. The Spirit of God is overseeing all things being done, isn't he? And he saw that Saul came after him into the wilderness. David therefore sent out spies and knew that Saul was definitely coming after him. And David arose and came to the place where Saul pitched. I think this is neat. You know, David didn't run when his enemy was coming after him, pursuing him. What did he do? He went to get right straight to him. He wasn't afraid of him. Perfect love does what? David loved Saul. Did he not? If he hadn't, he'd have killed him. Had several opportunities, as he does this morning. And David arose and came to the place where Saul had pitched, and David beheld the place where Saul lay. Now, where was that place? Ignorance. See? Still in ignorance. Still in darkness. And it says that Saul was laying down asleep, wasn't he? When he's asleep, what does he know? Because asleep is a symbolism of what? Death. Okay? So he was dead. He has not even been born again yet, has he? That's a person in ignorance. We have to understand these things. And understand that we can't deal with someone who is still dead. Dead people don't carry communication, do they? It's not pretty nasty, but it's not a logical conversation. But David arose and came to the place where Saul had pitched, and David beheld the place where Saul lay, and Abner, what does Abner mean? My father is a lamp, the son of Ner, which is a lamp, the son of the lamp. Abner was the son of the father. True? Are we not all sons of the father? Okay, some haven't come to birth yet. With the light, yeah. Ner was a lamp. And father is the light. He was the captain of the host, okay? Which could speak of Christ, but this is on the other side. This is the carnal mind side. And Saul lay in the trench. How about being in the grave? You're dead, you're dead, ain't you? And the people pitched round about him. And then David responded and said to Ahimelech, the Hittite, Ahimelech means my brother is the king. And the Hittite, does anyone know what the Hittite represents? Fear. It says it's the aboriginal, he's one of the aboriginal tribes. Or one of the, what do you know what the word aboriginal means? It means the original person or inhabitant there. And that's one of the original inhabitants of the land that God used in Deuteronomy 7, verse 1, to tell us about the ites in the land. There were seven nations stronger and mightier than you. These things in the natural mind you can't control. We have to turn that battle over to the Lord, don't we? And He'll take care of it. But that's one of them, and that's fear. It's one of the original things we have to deal with, is fear. And to Abishai, it's the brother, if my father is Jesse, it would be a brother of who? No. Not a brother, David. Jesse was the... Okay, excuse me, you're right. It'd be a brother, David. And Zeruiah speaks of a balsam or a salve or a healing balm. Okay? Brother to Joab, which is God is Father, Yahweh is Father, saying, who will go down with me to Saul to the camp? Okay? And Abishai said, I will go down with you. Now, what does he mean? Abishai's name means what? My father is Jesse. He knew who his father was. So he represents a first fruit. He went with David, right? The Christ. And he says down here, who will go with me? And Abishai says what? I'll go. What's it telling you? In his name and by what he said, what is he telling you? It's something you must know in your walk. What? He knew who his father was. So what did he know? He knew his identity, right. He knew who he was. And this is something we have to find out. When we find out who our father is, then we know who we are, don't we? Because where do we come from? Our father. In the natural, if we know who our father is, we know who we are, don't we? We can figure out what my name is. Because I knew my father, find out who my father is. Huh? When you know who you are, you can be obedient. Until you know who you are, how could you be obedient? And David and Abishai came to the people by night. That's really speaking of Christ and the overcomers coming, the head and body, coming to the people when they are in what? They're in darkness or ignorance or adversity. And behold, Saul lay sleeping within the trench. You know where I think that trench is? Right up here. And we're sleeping, that mind will fall asleep, or it is asleep, it's dead. Sure it is. Sure. It's Adam being cast out of his grave like an abominable branch. where am I at? Oh. It says, Saul lay sleeping within the trance, and his spear stuck in the ground at his bolster. You know what that bolster means? It's your head or your by your head or a pillow. It could be a pillow. But Abner and the people lay round about him. And then said, well, let's go back to this thing. Why was there a spear by his head? Carnal mind is always ready to do battle. They're always ready to war. See? They have an ego problem. They don't have an identity crisis. They got an ego problem. They think that they are whatever. They think that they are God truly in the mind. And then Abishai said to David, God has delivered your enemy into his hand this day. Now therefore, let me smite him, I pray thee, with a spear, even to the earth at once, and I will not smite him a second time. What's he saying? When I hit him, he's dead. I'll kill him. But now listen, this is someone who represents first fruit or the body of Christ. Huh? Yeah, but do we have to do that? See, that's the immature person in their mind that think they have to defend God. Beg pardon? Well, he was part of it, but he just didn't know that yet, did he? He still saw David as separate from himself. when you find out that you're a son of God, you still haven't learned the lesson that you are the body of Christ, have you? Haven't seen the unity yet. So guess what? He's still got a problem here. He's in immaturity. In immaturity, we still want to reach back for those carnal weapons. Okay? But David came and did one thing. He took away the weapon of war, didn't he? And he took away something else too. And David said to Abishai, "Destroy him not, because who can stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless?" He said, who can do it and be guiltless? In 1 Chronicles 16:22, it says, "Touch not my anointed and do not my prophets no harm." It also says it in Psalm 105:15, "Touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm." David had the word of God written in his heart. Sons of God have the word written in their heart. So you know what they'll do when they're put in that position where they can retaliate and they could take that soulish life, but they got one thing in their heart: mercy and grace. See, that's because God wrote it in their heart. Everybody's hearts haven't been written in yet. If they haven't been birthed, how can he write anything in their heart? It has to be sons that have this mercy and grace. If we don't have it, who's going to have it? Nobody. And David said, "As the Lord lives, and the Lord shall smite him, and his days shall come to die, or he shall descend into battle and perish." David's telling the truth. I don't care how he goes, God will take care of that. It's not my call. People that do you wrong should not be your concern how God deals with them. But your thought process should be, "Lord, have mercy on them. Forgive them, Lord. I do. And the Lord forbid that I should stretch forth my hand against the Lord's anointed, but I pray you take you now the spear that is at his bolster and by his head, and the cruse of water, and let us go," or the jug of water. What's the jug of water? Angry. When you take away the words, see, the carnal mind only has one kind of word. The power can be life or death. And David took away his weapons of war and the word, the power of his word in that water. You know, that water was life out there. He took it away. He had no power of life. Didn't God take away his anointing? Huh? Sure he did. He took Saul's anointing because of his disobedience. It was just a natural man's way of doing things. God don't do it according to my schedule, then I'll rearrange it and make a new plan. He's training David, but he's telling Saul, "Your day is coming, son. Your days are coming, and you still ain't listening to what I'm telling you. You're still reverting back to your natural way of doing everything." God's given him a lot of grace and mercy in his life. I mean, I'm talking about Saul. And yet Saul still cannot learn this lesson. And that's the way most people are. They can't learn the lesson. So David took the spear and the cruse of water from Saul's head, and they got away. And no man saw it or knew it, or neither awaked. You know why? Because they were all asleep, because a deep sleep from the Lord was falling upon them. Well, you know what? I can go back to Genesis 2 and 21. You know what I hear? Adam. A deep sleep was caused to fall upon Adam by God. That's not a coincidence, is it? Humanity died. This is another pattern right there of humanity in the garden. See? God caused a sleep to fall on them. How can we blame anybody for what they do if God put them to sleep? Hello? How can we look at somebody in a negative sense when God caused it to happen? If I look at it and judge people because of what they do, because I don't think it's right, guess what? I'm still judging with the natural eye, the natural mind, and I haven't seen the grace and mercy that God has given us. He gave us that, didn't he? Then what right have we got not to give it to someone else? Okay. Now notice he took it when no one knew about it. He said, no man saw it, no man knew it, neither did they wake up. He come in and done his work while we're still in ignorance. And you know what it says in Romans? It says this, that while you were yet sinners, he died for you. Hello? What's going on here? See? Because we were yet sinners, when we were yet sinners, he died for us. And then Christ went over to the other side and stood on top of the hill far off. Can you see it? He went on the other side. I can see Acts chapter 1, verse 8 through 10, when Jesus ascended up and the cloud received him out of their sight. He went over to the other side. Can you see it? See, he just went over to the other side. He didn't go someplace way up in the sky. He stepped into the spirit realm. And this is what it's taught us about. When Christ has done his work, what's he going to do? He's going to step over to where he belongs, back in the spirit realm. Okay? A great space being between them. Wonder where that's at. Remember the parable of Lazarus? And there was a great gulf between them? See? Thought was. He said that there was a great gulf between them and no man could get across it. See, no humanity can. But guess what? The Christ in you can. You can't do it on your own. Christ is the only way you're getting across. Beautiful parallels. And David cried to the people and to Abner, the one that says, "My father is the lamp," or the light, the son of Ner, the lamp, saying, "Respond, are you not responding to me, Abner?" And then Abner responded and said, "Who art thou that cries to the king?" Now here's David crying to the people. He's at a far off place. Wonder what he's talking about now. He's in a far off place. He's in the spirit realm. And that's a long ways from the natural realm, isn't it? Not in distance, but in realm. It's far off. Who do you think he's talking to when he's talking to the people? Who's he talking to here? No. The one that says, "My Father is the light, the son of the lamp." Who's he talking to? He's talking to people in carnality that's being called out of carnality. Isn't that who Christ is speaking to today? We're in this world, but we're not of this world. He's calling us. Spirit's always saying, "Come on up. Come on up. Let's get out of this mess." Okay? And David said to Abner, "Aren't you a valiant man? Who is like you in all of Israel? Wherefore then have you not kept the Lord the king? Because there came one of the people in to destroy the king thy Lord. This thing is not good that you have done. As the Lord lives, you are worthy to die, because you have not kept your master, the Lord's anointed. And see now where the king's spear is, and the cruse or the jug of water, that it was near his head." By this time, guess what? Saul's woken up. The carnal mind's listening to a little bit of reason, maybe. Trying to realize something. Trying to, I said. Didn't say it was. And Saul knew David's voice and said, "Is this thy voice, my son David?" And David said, "It is my voice, O Lord, O King." You know, the carnal mind sometimes can hear Christ talk inside of you. Does he always listen to it? Sometimes we hear it and we use out of the emotions of the carnal mind. Sometimes we'll say things like the carnal mind's saying right here. He's recognizing the Christ in him has given him mercy when he did not deserve it. He had every reason to die. Sure it is. Sure it is. Sure it is. And Saul knew his way. Verse 18, okay. And he said, "Wherefore does my Lord thus pursue?" Now this word "pursue" doesn't tell us a whole lot until you look in the language. In the Hebrew language it says to pursue with a hostile intent. So you can pursue someone without being hostile, can't you? But this is a word that means to pursue with hostile intent. He said, "After your servant, because what have I done, or what evil is in my hand?" Christ hasn't done any evil, has he? The Christ in you is not evil and has done nothing wrong. See, your spirit can never be defiled. Do you realize that? Your spirit is the Spirit of God. How could the Spirit of God be defiled? It's impossibility. So my spirit has never been defiled, neither is yours. Some people's spirit has woke up and some hasn't. Nothing we can do about that because we're not the one calling it. It's up to Father to do that. No man comes to the Father except the Spirit draws him there. Now therefore, I pray you, let my Lord the King hear intelligently with the intent to respond, that's Shama, the words of his servant. If the Lord hath stirred you up against me, let him accept an offering. But if they be the sons, excuse me, I turn the page, of Adam, if the sons of Adam have done this, they're cursed before the Lord. Isn't that amazing? If their sons of Adam done this, they're cursed before the Lord. Because they have driven me out this day from abiding in the inheritance of the Lord. And what they're really saying, go serve other gods. You know what the church does to you today? In your mind, you let it happen. When they drive you or ostracize you from a church, what do? In your mind? I'll go find someplace else to worship. I'll find something else to worship. Isn't that true? I know hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people that have been ostracized in a religious system, and their mind, because it was not maturity yet, had revenge and retaliation in their mind, so they tried to find something else to worship versus worshiping God wherever they're at. If they look at, they've treated me wrong, they've done me wrong, so I'll just do something else. They still should be worshiping God no matter what they do to me. You see what I'm saying? We've got to get our focus upon God and forget about what humanity does to you. Humanity is a tool that God is using. It's all it is. It's a tool. I was in a discussion with some people not too long ago, and they were talking about someone told them that we're just a piece of garbage because we're flesh, and flesh ain't no good, and God don't care about it. Well, God is using it, okay? He's using it. He chose to deliver His Son to this world in a body of flesh just like yours. So I can't say that flesh is trash. See? It's not garbage. But it's going to return to the dust from where it came. And the spirit will go back to God. I'm not worried about that. But I do know that God cares about us, or He wouldn't be doing anything. He'd just annihilate us and get it over with. I don't believe that for a second. But we will be forced by our carnal mind to run out and do other things, serve other gods, if we don't watch. Now therefore, let not my blood, he said, fall to the earth before the face of the Lord, because the king of Israel has come out to seek what? Literally, one flea. The language says one flea. That's awful hard to find, one flea. Okay? He says, as when one does hunt a partridge in the mountains. You go up in the mountains trying to hunt a bird, you could be pretty tough. They can get away from you pretty easy up there in the mountains. And then said Saul, I have sinned. He come to a revelation. Sometime in your mind, you're going to have to come to this same revelation that Saul came to. I've missed my mark. What in the world am I trying to retaliate against anyone for? Do you hear me? What right do I have to retaliate to someone who's done me wrong? If I'm going to go anywhere in God, I have to come to this revelation that I have missed my mark. Okay? Not amazing. It's a big thing, but when you come to it, God's already aware of when you're coming and when you're not, isn't He? So it's no big revelation. God's a revelation to you. He said, I have sinned. Return, my son David, because I will no more do thee harm. Because my soul was precious in your eyes this day, behold, I have played the fool and have erred exceedingly. Or literally the language says, I have erred greatly and repeatedly. Huh? The repeatedly. He continues to do the same thing. I've erred greatly and repeatedly. Yeah, but he's asking him back in his life. He's asking the Christ to come back in his life. And David responded and said, behold the king's spear, and let one of your young men come over and fetch it. What's he saying? You are still in the place of warfare, you're yet carnal. You still got strife and envy and jealousies, you're yet carnal, right? He's coming from his emotions when he saw that something wasn't right. He could not do it in spirit yet because he's still carnal. He said, let one of your young men come over and get it. You got plenty of them carnal thoughts over there. They can go chase down anything. And then David goes on and says this, the Lord rendered to every man his righteousness and his faithfulness. I'll give you a list of scriptures if you want to write them down, or they'll be on the tape. Job 34:11. Okay. Job 34:11. Psalm 62:12. Jeremiah 17:10. Romans 2:6. Matthew 16:27. Jeremiah 32:19. And Revelation 2:23. And Revelation 22:12. It's all speaking about the Lord rendering to every man according to his works. Okay? Now, I can do a lot of works, but when I do them in my carnality, guess what? There's no reward. The reward comes when I do the works that God has given me to do. Do you understand that statement? I can't just do something to be doing something. I've got to do what God has given me to do. Okay?
What does the word rendering mean? To the Lord rendering?
That's the same as give. The Lord give to you according to his righteousness and his faithfulness. Now, if God gives to you according to his righteousness and faithfulness, what do you got? Everything. Right? He poured out his spirit upon all flesh. Well, it's not. He's just saying, David is saying, the Lord will render you as you are. If you're doing what God says and you're obedient, you're going to have a better reward than the person who doesn't in works. But see, they can't work until they come into the kingdom anyway. In Psalm 17:2, it said, a servant shall have rule over a son that causes shame, and he'll have part of the inheritance among the brethren. See? So if I do what I'm told, I'm a wise servant, then guess what I'm going to receive? Everything Father has, and I'll have part of the inheritance. I'll be part of the ruling class in the kingdom of God. I'll be part of the Christ. But I have to be obedient to do that.
Okay.
Now, it's if I do what I'm told, I can only do it because God gives me the ability. Okay? I'm not going out on my own and trying to do something. I'm only being obedient to what God says. You understand that?
Yeah.
If you do just what God says, you'll receive what he wants you to have. If I don't do that, then I'm not going to have a reward. I'm not going to have those benefits of being part of the Christ. Well, you're just part of the kingdom, but you're not in the ruling class of the kingdom. You're not with the Christ.
So the reward is being in the ruling class of the kingdom that you're referring to.
Being part of the Christ. Okay? In Genesis...
Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't hear all of it.
It's okay. That's okay.
I heard what you said, but I didn't hear what you said.
Okay. In Genesis 15, Abraham was concerned that he did not have a son. Correct? He didn't have someone to take on his inheritance. And God told him, I am your inheritance. I am your great and exceeding reward.
And these references you gave me substantiated.
Yes.
I'm sorry to bother you.
No bother. No bother. Pleasure.
If you're calling your son in obedience, you don't expect
no reward. No, but you will be by just being, see? I'm not doing anything. That's okay. It's okay. It's what I'm supposed to do.
Okay.
The sons of God never, just like Jesus, he never sought for a reward. He didn't come for someone to serve him, but to be the servant. And if we do that, then we're going to receive a reward because God said he's going to give us a reward.
And the ones who do work, they are in expectation.
The ones that do it for expectation have their reward now.
Right.
Okay? Because the Lord delivered you into my hand, verse 23, but I would not stretch forth my hand against the Lord's anointed. And behold, your life was set by this day in my eyes, so let my life be set much in the eyes of the Lord. So he wasn't concerned about Saul, was he? He said, I saw your life as valuable, and I hope and I want my life to look valuable to God also, which it is. And let him deliver me out of all what? Who's supposed to deliver you out of all tribulation? Now, this word tribulation is a funny word. You know what it says? He said, let the Lord deliver him out of, let me deliver me out of all tribulation. The word means trouble or your female rival. Not sure. I think it's funny. It's not the external female, it's the internal female. What's your internal female? Your soul. So let the Lord deliver me out of all this trouble from my female. See? From my soul. I think it's cute. And the last verse of the chapter goes on and says this. Then Saul said to David, that's the carnal spine to Christ, you're blessed, my son, and you shall do great things, and also you shall prevail. The carnal mind knows. It ain't going to make it. Don't want to admit to it, but it knows it. Guess what David then says here? So David went on his way. He's got a journey to take, doesn't he? You know, David was still in the wilderness when this took place. When we come to this point with dealing with our carnal mind yet, we have to realize that we're still in the wilderness. We're not through yet. We have not attained yet, have we? We're in the process. We're being worked on. And Saul returned. See, David went on and Saul returned. Kind of sounds like the book of Ruth, doesn't it? Orpah, Naomi, and Ruth. Orpah turned back. Naomi and Ruth went on. Mm-hmm. Yep, and Christ Jesus went on. It just went right on. Pretty amazing, isn't it? Let me read you something out of John chapter 14. One last verse. John chapter 14, verse 12. Now listen to what Saul said back here in chapter 25 of 1 Samuel, chapter 26 in verse 25. You shall do great things and shall prevail. Okay? Now in John, Jesus spoke these words. Verily, verily, I say to you, he that believes into me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these things shall you do, because I go to my Father. Because David returned, David went on his way and went to his Father, guess what we can do now? Greater works than he did. And I know that's blasphemous to the church world. They don't believe that. But you know what? God said it. I don't care what they believe. Do you? I don't care what they believe. I'm only saying what God said. And today the problem we have in the church realm is so many people think that because they don't see it with their natural eye, it's never going to happen. But again, the Word says, blessed is he that believes even though he doesn't see. See? So guess what? It doesn't make any difference what they think, does it? Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
That's a very profound statement in John 14:12.
Isn't it? It tears up a lot of people because they can't believe that we will do the things that Jesus did. They don't think anything could be that because they worship Jesus as an idol, and Jesus would never
be doing the things greater than Jesus.
That's what I'm saying. That's what it says.
Am I wrong?
No, you're right. And what I'm saying this is the church world worships Jesus as an idol. Show me one place in Scripture where it ever says we are to worship Jesus.
I never have found it.
It's not there.
They
can't take you to something that don't exist. Jesus never would accept worship.
I can never understand that. That's part of my hang-up right there that I never could express of this damn hand-waving crap. So that, now that explains it, see? Waving your damn hands out there about nothing.
Here's the thing, Bob.
That, see, I never thought about that before.
But see, they're worshiping.
That's what upset me.